This meeting is now being recorded.
It's Karen from Tehama. I have with me Judge Bodke, Michelle Haney, Assistant CEO, and Linda Watkins-Galino, our fiscal manager.
Thank you. Are we expecting anybody else?
Judge McCabe, this is Tanya, just so you know I'm on the line.
Thank you. Patrick?
Yes.
Okay, and do we have a status on the latest application from Tehama?
Yes. Yes, I'm actually right now sending some information to the entire subcommittee that the court would like me to send out. There's been a minor adjustment to the fund condition statement, and we can walk through that later on, but I'm going to be sending it right now. It's an Excel document. So the Tehama Superior Court submitted an application for supplemental funding on January 20th, 2016. The application identifies the reason for applying for supplemental funding as arising from the extraordinary expenditures that the court has to incur to restore its information technology infrastructure after malicious actions in July 2015. Rendered the court case management system, telephone, exchange, server, jury system, shared and individual drives, and website non-operational. Under the current policy adopted by the Judicial Council, from January 1st through March 15th, 25% of the remaining trial court trust fund of the 2% state level reserve is available for court requests due to unforeseen emergencies or unanticipated expenses. For 2015-16, the 25% amount remaining in the 2% state level reserve is $9.4 million. So now I will go over the changes here. The amount of the request is $498,000. The court projects a negative fund balance of, and this is reflected in the materials that just were sent out, of $237,456. Now, the court has kept additional positions vacant from the last submission of their application, which is in reduce the salaries and benefit costs for the court. They have also, though, included additional costs for their new facility that includes janitorial and also IT equipment. The court has identified, included also the county reimbursement for the case management system of $324,000 and also the additional funds in the county payroll account of $213,000. Now, I do want to also mention that there's there was another change from the last submission, and that is that the county auditor sent a letter to the court on December 10th indicating that in order for the county to facilitate the processing of the court's payroll and the trial court payroll account, which is a revolving fund, three payrolls needed to be in the account. In prior years, the payroll requirement was only $242,950. However, starting this fiscal year, the payroll requirement comes out to $450,000, three payrolls that the county is requesting that the court have on account.
Patrick, can we make a clarification to that, please?
somebody has, is somebody on cell phone? Okay, that's better. Excuse me, Karen.
Can we address the payroll and the cash with the county for just a moment before we go on?
Sure.
The cash with the county was reflected in SAP at $232,000 for several years. And in reality, we discovered last year that the actual cash with county on hand was $456,000. There was an error back in 06 where it was not recorded. I don't know what actually occurred, and I have been researching it and working with Roslyn to research it. So we recorded the difference in this fiscal year. It isn't because the county required more. It's that they have had that on hand 06.
And that's what they wanted to maintain, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
And unfortunately, Rick, this is Judge Botke. None of the four of us that are actually on this call were even employed here in 2006 to give you the answer as to why that happened.
Sure. Sure.
Sorry about that, Patrick.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
But they go ahead.
No, go ahead, Patrick. I'll wait for you, Jim.
No, that's again, you know, they their estimated core estimated fund balance has changed. $237,000 has been an adjustment to that. That's the most current updated amount. I wanted to say that the letter, though, Karen, the letter was sent though on December 10th, just reaffirming that that amount should stay at $456,000.
That is correct. We do have MOUs dating back to 1996 where the county agreed to do our payroll.
And in return for doing your payroll, the county wants to keep about $500,000 on hand for that many months of the payroll?
That's the requirement, and our benefits are tied to maintaining payroll with the county.
So it's a revolving fund that has to be replenished.
So, question about that. So, it sounds like, though, what really happened then is you started the year, fiscal year, with about $450,000 in that revolving fund, for lack of a better term. And is that $450,000, is that part of the beginning fund balance of the 621 at the top?
Do you want to go over the new spreadsheet, Patrick, with that, or Roslyn, one of you?
The $456,000 is not a part of the fund balance. Only the $242,950 is.
Okay.
And is the $242,950 part of the 621, the beginning balance that you started the year with?
It is.
Really hard time hearing.
Yes,
but there's a conversation going on.
Sorry, I can't help that. I'm in a cubicle.
You could come to my office, Rosalind, if you'd like.
Where are you?
Botco in the back corner.
Okay. I'll be there.
All right.
And did the county indicate why they feel that they need three payrolls as opposed to two?
That's just been their requirement dating back to June of 2006. There was over $400,000 required.
Given your admittedly extreme circumstances, has anybody approached them to see if they would, at least in the short term, agree to go down to 2 months rather than three, considering the crisis you're in?
We have not approached them with that. We did approach them back in February of 2015 as far as moving our payroll off of the county system and going into Phoenix. And we got a response of it was an all or nothing. Either you leave your payroll with us as it is, or we're going to cut you from our benefits. So we engaged a broker to see what we could do for health benefits. And unfortunately, because of the Affordable Care Act, we could not receive quotes from Anthem or Blue Shield because we had less than 50 employees. So we were kind of stuck with the county at the moment.
And this is Judge Botke. Since I became the presiding judge on December 8th, 2 months ago. I have already met with the county executive officer regarding many issues. This is something that certainly was brought up, but with the pendency of this and the short time frame, it certainly was not something that was going to get addressed in 60 days.
Sure. That makes sense.
So the ultimate question is, and you're right, Rick, it's not really revolving. It's an impound account. That's exactly how it's being treated. It's there and it has to be replenished in a certain amount of level maintained. The real question is what effect does that have, and should it have any effect? Questions, comment?
Has there been, when was the last time the MOU with the county regarding that issue was actually looked at?
There was an amendment to that MOU in 2014.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But it didn't address the amount of money or the amount of payrolls necessary? That wasn't addressed at that time?
It was not.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Rosalyn, were you able to join us? Not yet.
My guess is, having dealt with my county on a similar issue, is that it's not an arbitrary number, that they've got it tied to secure, the amount tied to a certain figure that affects your payroll, et cetera, and so therefore they want that security there as a fail-safe.
So is the bottom line, and it sounds like you, I mean, we said this at the beginning of the last call, and I think we would say it here too. Obviously, you folks have been very fiscally responsible for prior to this occurring, but it sounds like the payroll cash that you're talking about is something you're stuck with. It's not going to change in the short term. So if I look at these numbers and drill down, your adjusted fund balance right now is a negative 237 due to the intrusion that was caused by your CIO.
That is correct.
And not to be the bad guy in the room, but it's the elephant in the room, so I'll be the bad guy in the room. As I understand it, and if I was in your shoes, I'd be asking for $500,000 too, so I'm not criticizing that request, but I'm just looking. My understanding of the 2% is it is very strict and it is very tightly defined that it can only be used to make up the loss, so to speak, rather than to bring you back up to where you were. As harsh as that sounds, and believe me, I'd be asking the exact same thing you are, but I'm just looking for a clarification about what we're allowed to do with this 2%.
Yeah, that if you have a hyper-technical reading of it, which unfortunately a bunch of judges like myself can do, I agree with that, but the flip side of that coin in the letter versus spirit issue is if we were fiscally irresponsible, we would be looking at having a greater benefit as far as being reimbursed for the money spent.
Yep,
and
that
is a difficult pill to swallow.
And I agree with you. You're absolutely right, and you're right because of the question I asked, you're right. The implication is you're being punished. Because I prefaced my comments with saying you're so responsible. And if you hadn't been responsible, your adjusted negative fund balance would be over $500,000, and you'd be saying, well, we're in the hole that much. So I understand your point. It's a very valid point. I'm just trying to see what the parameters are in our ability to give you the money.
Understood.
I will note that the letter versus spirit argument is going to be the surgical issue that the council is going to have to wrestle with after we wrestle with it today.
Yeah. I mean, there's the fiscal side, which we can't have any court in the negative fund balance, which is certainly the first and foremost purpose of the 2%. The second question becomes, if a court has an unexpected, almost disastrous sort of situation, as you currently have, is the liability at least as much as possible with that court, or is it to be shared amongst all the courts? And that really is a policy question, I think, that we need to clarify as a branch.
Correct.
Well,
so I think in the last go-round, we also talked about the case management system and the county funding, or the county, the funds at the county that was available for that. And so, Patrick, I heard you say that this fund balance includes the $324,000 or so for the new case management system. And is that totally offset by those funds that are over with the county for that purpose, as well as the new facility? And is there any additional funds over there, or does this these expenses basically drain that fund?
It exceeds the fund.
Okay.
Yeah, all the expenditures and the fund, it's all in their fund condition that they're representing today.
Okay.
That's too bad, because it would have been kind of at least an idea that they use monies that's being held over there, since it's going to be a while before the utilization of all those monies for the purposes could be used to offset the payroll issue.
No, we're going to be moving into the new courthouse this year. And so we have started expending those funds over at the county back in 2014.
And how much is what left in the fund?
It's the $323,658. And those funds are restricted by MOU with the county.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is my reading of this correct, that your pro rata share of the what's in the 2% right now is
$110,000?
$110,237?
Well, that's 2% automation.
Oh, that's
for
automation.
Yeah, that's automation.
Yeah. What's your general 1%?
Right.
Allowable, because it would be double that.
What was the question, Tanya?
What's your allowable?
What's your 1%?
What's your 1%?
30-some thousand.
37.
Yeah. Okay. 74. So 74 is your 2%.
That sounds about right. Give or take.
Yeah, I believe it's 75,000. And it's been, 75% of the 2% was distributed in January 15th, so there's 25% remaining.
Left.
Right.
Well, I was really just sort of looking at what the net differential would be that would be
right
sitting out there. So, I mean, easily, 75,000 of it should be at their disposal, I would think. That's allowed. Oh, we got a distribution. You're right, Patrick.
Yeah, January. 75% of that already came to them.
So they've already got 50. They've only got 25 coming back to them.
25. Okay.
And they did include, I believe, 95% projection of it returning in their budget.
That's correct.
So they've accounted for it already.
Okay.
So if I can just, your adjusted fund balance is upside down $240,000, and I mean, that's a rough number. So really where you need to end up is that number plus your $70,000 for your fund balance, right?
Right.
I mean, am I reading that wrong, or is that accurate? I mean, that includes the 456 maintained at the county level for the payroll.
That
yes.
is correct.
Yes.
You're suggesting the 237 plus we make sure they have their 1% re-existing. That I understand. Okay.
Correct.
That's kind of what I'm looking at. I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but it just sort of to make it whole with, you know, make it legitimate in this year. I mean, I still personally have a problem with the $456,000 at the county level. I think there should be something we should be able to do to sort of help this court get out of that trap, because that, I think, you know, I think publicly known around, that could pose some problems for them, just simply because the rest of us are not packing that kind of money sitting in a payroll issue. So
the 456 is illusory, though, because it has to be replenished, correct? So it's not actually available for them to spend and retire.
Right. No, I understand that.
That's the problem. So it's an ongoing issue and becomes a cash flow problem for them.
Right. But I think that maybe there's some way we could, you know, whether it's partnering with another court or something to help them in their, I mean, down the road, I mean, it doesn't affect this particular thing at this time, but I think down the road there may be a, you know, we should look at opportunities to assist them to get out of this obligation with their county and get into a better issue.
Yeah. Well,
We will definitely be looking at that once we get through this and get past the council meeting in February. But, Tanya, as I said, this was not high on the priority list until it became an issue with regard to the emergency funding application. It was addressed, as Karen said, in February, sort of falling on deaf ears. I have a much different take on that than my predecessor did as PJ, and it will get addressed, but it won't get addressed before February 26th.
No, understood. So I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, I think that's something that we don't want to lose. My point is, we don't want to lose sight of that with you guys, because I think we need to help you guys there some way.
Now, basically, if we reimburse, I mean, if we assist them with the 2%, that means that Tehama County is holding that money more or less hostage, and that's money that
right. And I just think it puts the court in an untenable position. I think it flies in the face of our independence and such. So I'm sorry. But.
Yeah. That's a good comment. I like Rick's. Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Just before we move off Karen, on the 2%, of course, that we have deducted from our funding at the beginning of the year, we all budget to get a certain amount of that back. And I would assume that however much you budgeted is in your is on line 9 in your revenue projection. And what percentage of that, I think we thought it was around 75,000,
and
that
we
budgeted to get back?
We budgeted 95%.
Okay, so that 95% of your 2% is already in that figure.
Correct.
Okay.
This is Jim Herman. I joined the call. I'm sorry I was on the bench. So
we started off by having concerns, and I think the point Rick made is a very valid one. We have to be able to talk to the council and explain to the council what's being covered here. I think Tanya's point, too, about the 1% is a very valid point, that the county should have sufficient funds to maintain its 1%, which gets us to right about $300,000, if I understand it correctly.
That's where I am, yes, thank you.
Yep, me too. As much as I if you folks can come up with some suggestions for us, but I hope you appreciate that the council is going to look at this and say, hold on a minute here. We'd all like to give them back $500,000, but we have to stay within the confines of the allowable use. I think Tanya's suggestion of the 1% is within that, because what it's really saying there is they still have to have the 1% on hand to protect them.
Doesn't that in essence kick the can down the road, because it's going to, what this will do is create a cash flow problem for them. They're going to need an advance that will go into the next year, and then they're going to be faced with coming back to the council asking for forgiveness of it, right? So although technically won't be this issue,
Judge, not budgetarily. I mean, we manage cash flow. They would have a budget that would be whole by the end of the fiscal year with a 1% amount. And then they would start the next fiscal year, albeit with a small but 1%.
Okay, another $75,000, right? Approximately.
Well, what did we calculate was the 1%?
75.
Yeah. 75 was their 2%. 1% is
75.
Oh, right. So it would be 237, 456, and 35. So 240 and 35.
275, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's correct.
And I think it really puts, it would allow them to be in the same place. And was that you, Judge McCabe, talking?
Yeah.
I don't think it has the budgetary impact because, quite frankly, they have a payroll cushion already in there.
Right.
That they're dealing with the replanning. So that's not, that impact isn't there. So.
And under this scenario that we see in front of us, that if they get the 237 even plus the 1%, they would have the 456 to carry over into the following year.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're in surgery and the patient is the silent one and we're trying to save their life by cutting off a leg and the patient's saying, I mean, I know this is very, very tough for you folks and we'd love to give you the 500 and maybe I'm just speaking alone, but I support the 237 plus the 1% for a 275. I think that will give us pretty much.
I think it's arguable. I think we can support it. I mean, I think that we can defend it.
That's my point. Well said.
Yep.
And we don't disagree with that. We're on board with that. I mean, you know, we realize that the 5-plus number, based on the realities, is an uphill battle. But we are looking to get us back to square one, and that's what your proposal and what you sound like you have a tacit agreement on would do, and we're okay with that.
That's my motion then. I move that we do that plus the 35 for 275.
This is Tanya. I'll second it.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. All right. And then it's passed.
Okay. And does our recommendation, though, include at least a suggestion that they work with their county to relax that 456 figure to a more reasonable amount?
I think that would be a suggestion, but not a condition, because
yeah.
I'm expecting
yeah.
the county to go tell them.
Yeah, I don't want to put any strings on it. I think we just need to get them to where they can be sound, and
right.
then we can. Then I think
right.
you know, even if it's a task force of us that help them try to get either that number reduced or partnered up with another court, which would allow them to be able to get out of something like this and not be held hostage, because that really, I think that's offensive to them. It's offensive to me. Sorry, Judge Bodke, I don't mean to speak for you, but.
No, and I'm not suggesting it be a condition. I'm with Tanya that I just don't think I don't want it to get forgotten.
All right.
Before I think it ought to
be. Okay.
All right. No, we agree.
Okay.
Okay, and then Patrick, is that the only item on the agenda for today?
That is, Judge.
Okay, then, very good. Thank you, folks.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.